Good evening, everybody. It's Ross Kadass, and I'm here with Mateo Beckles, and this is the Golden Bowl Sportscast, the sound of Laurier Sports. And we hope you guys are enjoying your very, very chilly Friday. Now, I know Mateo can let us off with a couple of the matchups we have tonight for the Golden Hawks.
Matchups we have tonight, I can absolutely do that. But first, I'd like to point out the weather. I came here. Honestly, you step out of the room and it's almost like, what am I doing here? I think it was -9 yesterday, and I found such great relief. But our matchups, absolutely. Tonight, I believe there's a couple of hockey games going on. We've got the women taking on Windsor. Should be a good matchup. Women's hockey team, I believe. That their last game got them to be 10 wins. But yeah, Laurier, Golden Hawks, Windsor. Puck drop at 7 p.m.
Ooh, in about an hour.
Yeah.
One thing to point out about our women's team, I believe they're like a night and day difference between last year and this year. In terms of they already hit 10 wins, you said. I don't think they hit 10 wins last year at all.
It's good to see. I mean, at the start of the season, just a powerhouse. You could tell right away. There was some adversity faced. A couple of games dropped, but, you know, let's get right back on that path to victory.
Yeah, I know hockey isn't necessarily my forte, but definitely been seeing the improvement.
You just got to have belief. That's where it starts. Just believe. Believe in yourself. What else can you really ask for?
Sure, belief in oneself is one of the strongest things someone can have.
What else have we got here? Laurier cheerleading, a bronze medal, the University World Cup in Orlando.
Wow.
I've never engaged in cheerleading. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, you know, funny story for you.
Let's hear it.
Like many of us, I went to high school. And so, you know, I've got a tight-knit group of friends. And so, you know, you've got your friends, and then, you know, you've got that school community, you know what I mean? And so cheerleading is a staple at my high school. And, you know, your friends are like, I want to join the cheer team. You're like, yeah, go for it, you know? Do what speaks to you. Me and the guys, we're like, you know what? Why don't we tap into the tryout? Maybe to try out, maybe just to watch, who can say?
Interesting.
And so we go to the door, and the door's shut in our faces. Not in, like, you know, in a malicious way. You know, we knew who was hosting the tryout. You know, it's our dog. It's a teacher, but it's our dog. And she's like, no, you can't come in here. We know why you're here. Why were we here? Who can say? Who can really say? But cheerleading, just pretty fire, you know. As the years go on in the world that we live in, you know, more intricate routines, great shows of athleticism, I would say. So good looks, a bronze medal at the World Cup. That's pretty fire. In Orlando, that's a cool little, you know, you join the cheer team and then you get to go to Orlando, like, you know, they're at the ESPN Wild World of Sports. That looks pretty cool.
Does look fun. I can guarantee the weather is probably a bit more friendly there.
Yeah, but at a certain point, like, you got to look at it as an investment, right? Because, say, me and you, I would say, like, you know, we probably wouldn't find ourselves on the Wilfrid Laurier University cheer team. But maybe, you know, that's the investment that needs to be taken in order to escape the old winter weather here.
Maybe.
But
too bad.
Maybe next year. Who knows?
But yeah, I just got to say, I respect cheerleading as a sport just because they're pretty athletic, man. Either you're getting thrown in the air or you're catching someone coming down.
That's really true. I don't think I can't sit here and say with an earnest tone of voice that I would catch somebody if they were in the air. I think I might be somebody who contributes to an injury in a cheer routine.
Yeah, and also, too, they do, like, the football games. It kind of gets cold around, like, October, November-ish.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you kind of see them. They're always, and yeah, they keep up the energy. It's hard for me to keep energy in bad weather, in cold weather like this. You saw me walking in just recently, walking in this cold weather.
Yeah, there's a sense of lethargy that overtakes you. And so, yeah, you know, you gotta commend the athleticism. You gotta commend the enthusiasm that is retained, you know, because games are long.
Yep.
How long are you gonna stand there and really be like, yeah, like, let's go, like, we're at a game? But they do it.
And if you really think about it, I don't know too much, so please excuse me if I don't know the intricate world of cheerleading. But
I can't say that I do either.
I assume that cheerleading at games have nothing to do with the competitions that they actually are a part of.
Yeah, probably not. Like, I would say those competitions are probably a bit more self-contained.
Yeah.
It's less about look at our school and look at our team, and it's more about look at us.
Yeah, look at our ability versus the school is more of a just to hype people up at the game. So
yeah, and it should be. I mean, that's a good mix to have. You know, you get to hype your school up, and you go off, cop a bronze medal all in a day's work. Enjoy the warm weather. I think that is a good investment. You know, props to the cheer team. Roll. Wow. You think about a team, you don't think much, and then you sit down and like, you know, list everything. Wow, some smart individuals there.
Shout out to the cheer team.
Yeah.
And roll. If anyone who's like to be interviewed on the cheer team,
reach out. Yeah, I would love to interview a cheerleader. Be like, hey, what do you do? What's the cheer routine? I don't even know. I can't. It's not something you can speculate about. I mean, but there's obviously, you know, every sport has its own kind of routine in the gym, your habits.
Yeah, I just want to find out more about that, because you know what, some sports like the basketball, the hockey, the football, you can kind of tell when you meet like a basketball, hockey, footballish type of player.
Yeah, there's an archetype for sure.
Yeah, I wonder what the cheerleading one is, because there's so many different roles that they have that, like, I feel like there's no like set archetype.
That's so true. That is so true. Reach out. We're always here. What else is there? What else we got? Track and field. Indoor track and field. Indoor Can-Am Classic season opener. And so, you know, the relay team's kind of cooked, I'm hearing. Women's 4x200 meters, fourth overall. Just missed the podium by 1 second, which is kind of brutal. I mean,
well, 1 second in track terms is different than 1 second in.
It really depends, terms. I would say, because, you know.
Like a full second, that's like, it's almost like losing by like 10 points in like basketball.
I guess. But I think it's all relative to the amount, to the distance you're running, right?
That's true.
Because, a second, like looking at the difference, you know, where you're finishing, it's a pretty substantial gap. Well, you know, it's a gap.
Yeah.
But in a 4x200 meter relay, so that's like, what, 800 meters in total, and you just miss out by a second? I don't know. It's easier to drop a second in those longer, you know, cumulative distances than, you know, in a shorter one. Like if you lose 100 meter by a second, then you're cooked. But
true.
With a relay. So, you know, props to them. And 4x800 as well. 4x800 is crazy to me.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest runner, so anyone who can run more than 100 meters in a track type of way, biggest kudos to you, especially when you get to a longer distance after the 400.
It's
very impressive.
I was such a runner. I was such a, you know, middle school, I ran those longer distances, right? Well, longer, like for what's offered in middle school. I was a 1500. I ran the 100 as well in the same year, which was kind of like, what are you doing? But then as soon as COVID hit, you know, I was so lazy, you know?
Yeah.
What was I even doing? And so COVID's done. Well, you know, relatively done. We get back into the schools and it's like, okay, let's do some track. And I'm like, okay, I'm totally going to go back to the 1500 until I ran a lap. And I'm like, you know what? I think that my lungs are permanently crippled, not from having COVID, but just from not doing anything.
Just sitting around.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing nothing.
So became a 400 runner in high school. Great times. The 400, it's those, you know, the long distance ones are like ridiculous because, you know, you're running for so long. It's like, you know, what's stopping you from just walking off the track and like, you know, sitting down and grabbing a bottle of water halfway through. But the middle distance ones, and I'll cite 400 because it's what I have the most experience. You get, you know, your first 200, it's like, yeah, we're good. You know, you're sprinting, like go as fast as you can. You don't even have to, you should go as hard as you can, maybe a little 90%. Then you round the, you know, the corner, the third corner, 300 meter mark or 200 meter mark, I guess. And it's like, okay, suddenly I'm more tired than I've ever been in my life, but it's fine. You know, you power through that curve, you know, you got a little bit of a lean on that last 100 meters. It's like, I don't know. It's like, you know, somebody's grabbing your legs and just like squeezing them because of the lactic acid. I'm
not a kin major.
Yeah, I'm not a kin major, but like, you know, you learn the terminology when you look up, why do I feel like this?
True. Shout out to Reddit.
Absolutely. And Quora, but no. Yeah, it's brutal. And I respect middle distance, long distance. I respect all distances, but you know, the longer you go, the more tricky it becomes. There's some technical aspects to it as well.
Yeah, that whole running for the sport thing, for a sport. Like, I understand if you, like, running being your sport is crazy respect to me, because I understand that running in other sports is punishment.
Yeah, that practices, yeah.
It's just practice.
For us, I mean, you know, in high school on the team, we'd always say that none of us are here running track and field because we enjoy it. We just happen to be good at it. Just happen to be, you know, fast. So, like, you know, I guess I'll do track. But, you know, can't speak to the individuals on this team now. You know, I am retired. But, no, we'd always say, I'm not here because I like it, per se. Not that they dislike it, but I'm not here because it's my passion. I'm here because I'm good. And so that's how it goes. You know, you could say that it's easier to discover that you're good at running than it is to discover that you're, you know, a proficient badminton player, for example. But, yeah, you know, we all have our paths.
Just to dive into a couple more games for the weekend.
For sure.
As you know, or maybe as you don't know, we got most of our teams actually playing home games. So on tomorrow at 3:30, we got our men's hockey team versus Lakehead.
Right, yeah.
That's heading off at sorry about that, I made a mistake. It's actually our men's team versus Windsor, our women versus Lakehead. Our men play Windsor tonight. Our women play Windsor tonight. Yeah, women's tonight, play Windsor. On Windsor tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And then our women's play Nipissing also tomorrow.
Back to backs. Yeah, we've had I'd say there's been a bit of a deficiency in home games. You know, lots of the teams gone away, so good to have a kind of doubleheader this weekend.
And the men's basketball team's also playing Lakehead too. So we have women's and men's basketball and hockey action this weekend.
Beautiful stuff, Lakehead. Seeing a lot of Lakehead on that schedule. How about curling? Got some curling going on.
I don't know too much about our curling team, but I wish them the best at the... Is it the Brock Invitational?
I'm seeing they're in Ottawa. The men and women are in Ottawa on the 20th. Which is tomorrow. No clue, to be honest, but curling. Let's talk about curling. My father's a big curling guy.
Really?
Yeah. Not even playing curling. Sorry?
I've never met a big curling person.
And you're just kind of like, how does that happen, first of all? But I'd wake up on a Saturday morning. It's like 11 a.m. and he's sitting on the couch watching some curling. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, and he's like, it's engaging, you know, I'm engaged. I'm like, okay, sure. And I can see the appeal, you know, because sometimes, you know, I come home from school. It's, you know, what is it? Like 4 o'clock in the PM. I'm watching some curling reruns, just cause it's on and it gets intense and you know, they gotta like scream like hard, to make you like, you know, sweep the thing. Faster.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they really get into it. And I was just, you know, scrolling on my, local social media app and I see a curling highlight and I go to my friend, yo, look at this, let's watch this. And they're just going crazy. And it's just the technicality to bump that stone, to bring it over here and get that one. It's so crazy. And to relate to that, like, you know, the commentators, which is what we sometimes do, they can really, like, make it all the more hype. And another sport, we'll say sport, that I've really been sucked into just because of the analysis of it, the commentary, is darts.
I did have a quick darts phase.
I don't know if you're familiar with, I think he's 16 years old, 16-year-old British darts player, Luke Littler.
No, I'm not familiar with this game.
He, first of all, he looks like he's, like, 37. But more power to you. I mean, you know, getting to those places that you shouldn't be getting into. Anyway, but he's a darts player, and he's just like, it's electric. And so, you know, now I'm in a rabbit hole of watching darts highlights. And the way that they just go bang, 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 and the crowd starts cheering with every, you know, dart thing that they hit, and it's like, wow, this is like, you know, you can really get into anything as long as the atmosphere is correct. But yeah, props. You were correct though. Curling, they are in St. Catharines. So Brock Invitational, I would imagine. So yeah, good luck to the curlers. I respect your craft. Fun fact about me, I have two cats. So my cats have cat toys. This is like little yarn things. And so I'd be bored in the house on the weekend. My mom's like, you know, doing something else. So I'd kind of like, you know, push the cat toys and then, you know, sweep in front of them with the Swiffer. And so that was my curling. So if you ever need a recruit, seek me out.
Yep. You guys ever need an alternate curling team? You guys know you guys got Mateo Beckles.
I would bring such swagger to the curling team. Like, I don't know. You need personality. I'm not saying that you don't have personality, but if you need more of it, like, I'll come in there and I'll, like, you know, I'll sweep it with, like, with spunk. You know what I mean?
A little more attitude.
Exactly. Like, I got a chip on my shoulder because I don't even do this sport. I'm just here for the vibes. You know what I mean? So, yeah, if you need a curler, I'm your guy. And you can, like, teach me as well. And it'll be, like, a great story. Like, boy, 18 years old, has never curled, becomes curl phenom. I can be your success story. But, you know, that's
like the Rudy of curling.
I would, yeah, but it's just food for thought, you know. I'm sure you guys are fine. I mean, you're fine without me. You're at an invitational. It's fine. I don't even care, to be honest. Well, I do care, but, like, you know, good luck to you. Man, curling. Curling championships in February, too, in Guelph, hosted by Guelph.
Oh.
That's so fire,
man. Maybe Radio Laureate takes the drive and
have
our live reaction.
I love a good road trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the atmosphere with curling.
Yeah.
And one sport that we have to mention at this school,
uh-huh.
And I'm a little biased just because it's my favorite sport, but it's basketball, and mm-hmm. It's the men's basketball team. The atmosphere at those games, if you haven't been, I highly recommend you visit and you watch a game live. Also, our men's team is currently the 5th-ranked men's basketball team in the country.
11-2.
Yep, 11-2, fifth in all of U sports.
That's so beautiful. I have not had the pleasure of... I think I've caught, you know, the warm-ups of one of the basketball games, but I haven't attended one. I'm going to soon. I think I'm doing one of the, either a men's or a women's game. I think I'm doing a men's game. That should be fire.
Yeah, highly recommend you watch our men's team play. They're very, very fun to watch. I had the liberty of calling the Battle of Waterloo last weekend against UW. And one thing you notice about these Laurier versus Waterloo matchups, there's no such thing as really home court advantage because... Uh-huh. Everyone's so close to each other, so it's a nice vibe with mixed cheers, but our men's team was able to get the W.
That's, yeah, I mean, 5-game win streak, undefeated on the road, I'm seeing. That's like, you know, those battles of water, it's so convenient how close you are to each other because, like you said, you've got spectators that can just be kind of journeymen and just, you know, give you that extra boost that you need wherever you go. That's pretty fire. And they're taking on Lakehead on Saturday as well. The men's basketball team is.
Yes, they are.
So we're going to be seeing lots of Lakehead. I mean, I guess, like, you know, it's like crushing, you know what I mean? But
yeah, I've never even been.
Yeah, I don't know where it's at, to be honest. Never heard of it. But I mean, like, I guess they're swell. Like, I don't really care. Like, you know, never heard of you. But yeah, roll the ball team. Should be fire. Lakehead University. But talking about Battles of Waterloo, though. Battle at the Odd upcoming for the men's hockey team against Waterloo in Kitchener Auditorium. I saw that they were giving away some student packages. Or not giving away. You know, you could buy some student packages. Because nothing in this world is free.
Nothing at all.
But, yeah, no, get yourself a little, well, you could, it's sold out. Could have gotten yourself some pizza, little shirt, little round trip to Kitchener and back. That should be cool. Battle at the Odd. I would imagine that, you know, it's a different, I mean, I was talking to, you know, my good broadcasting buddy, Isaac, who does play-by-play, and he was telling me how, you know, it's a whole different beast, whole different animal. You got to be super prepared. Biggest game of their season in the regular season, obviously. So that should be cool. You know, people making the trip down. I mean, student packages sold out. Good job. Roll the community. So yeah, you know, got that intensity of that rivalry matchup. And then in what I'd imagine is a bigger setting than where they usually play. So that should be pretty fire.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, the odd is where the Rangers.
Oh, the Kitchener Rangers. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the atmosphere there. I've been there a couple times. Caught a Rangers game last year.
That's cool.
It's pretty fun. My first time really watching minor league hockey. And cannot lie, it's pretty entertaining when the home team's winning.
Absolutely. I mean, but yeah, I think it's cool. Because, you know, you'll watch a team play in their regular setting, and it's just when they, when they've got a special event going, like, you know, you've got kids in the crowd for a school day game, or, you know, they're going to a bigger arena. It's just like, you know, the vibes are different. That aura's there. The atmosphere changes. So, yeah, good luck to them. Wednesday at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock starts. I'm partial to it. And, yeah. What else have we got on the old block here? I want to talk about the Raptors.
Let's talk about the Raptors.
What's your let's start with the OG trade, because this is our first show back since last year, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So the OG Anunoby trade. What's your take?
I love the move for the Raptors. As someone who's Raptors aren't my favorite team, but obviously one of my favorite teams.
Who's your favorite team?
Boston Celtics.
Okay.
But you know the Raptors are there, of course. That's the hometown team. Personally, I love the move. I felt like having OG, Siakam, and Scottie Barnes was a little bit redundant. They kind of all three do the same things, with kind of OG being the best on defense, Pascal being the most offensively gifted of the three, and then Scottie being just kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
So I really like the trade, getting RJ Barrett, a hometown hero, back into the city. It's huge for the city itself. He's playing well so far. Getting Emmanuel quickly was a huge steal. And only losing Malachi Flynn and OG, who was probably going to leave in free agency, doesn't hurt too much. I know Precious Achiuwa was gone too. They took him, but not too bad. I really love the move by the Raptors. And I say give them 2-3 years. They'll probably build something serious again.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of what you noted about the redundancy, like, you know, definitely Masai loves his long guys.
Yeah.
And things are starting to clog up there. I was okay with the trade at first, cause I was like, okay, I like quickly, I like you know, getting assets, you know, cashing in your assets, getting Malachi Flynn out of here, not partial to his game.
Yeah, plus his dad complains.
Yeah, I see that all over the place. And Precious, you know, not the most, you know.
Yeah, he's nice to have on your team, but you don't necessarily, it doesn't really hurt too much if you have to part ways with
him. And you could appreciate some higher basketball IQ from him, but whatever. What I wasn't a fan of initially is RJ Barrett, because I, you know, we followed when he got drafted third overall. And I don't know, with New York, I was like, okay, you know, just kind of not even a letdown, just kind of a dull player. Not really, you know, given a burst, like, you know, not really an explosive player. And you don't even need to be explosive, but just doesn't catch my attention. I mean, you don't hear much about RJ Barrett.
Yeah, the one thing I'd say about that, and this may be a little bit of a hot take, I think New York is one of the harder markets to play in, especially for basketball.
Absolutely.
Just because of the whole cultural aspect and the expectations. But the problem with an organization like New York is they have expectations for a franchise who in the last 20 years hasn't really done much. So there's no one there who's even had to lay that foundation to make the expectations make sense. So now you have guys kind of like RJ, who's, you were third pick in a stacked draft, whatever it looked like back then. And they kind of, I feel like, they expected him to do things and didn't really build around him as much, and just like got names. Like they got Julius Randle. They grabbed Brunson, threw him a bag. Instead of like really like setting the foundation and building a team, kind of like how the Warriors did.
That's true. In that sense. It was kind of an awkward building around that team, and that's fair to say. I mean, you've got a story franchise. You're playing at Madison Square Garden, in the, like, one of the most famous cities in the world, and you've got a fan base that is just starving to win, and you got Stephen A. Smith screaming in your ear.
Yep.
That's, you know, yeah. Some people. And, you know, we'll wait and see what happens with RJ here. But it's true that some people, you know, they're performers, but, you know, the pressure of
Yeah, just the pressure setting. Just the pressure of the setting, and it's a lot. It's probably a lot to deal with. That's why Julius Randle goes through tremendously historically bad shooting slumps. I think at the beginning of the season, he was shooting the worst field goal percentage since the 1950s.
That sounds about right. But I like what I've seen from RJ in Toronto so far.
Yeah, I think, and I also think he's just a confidence player. Like, you can tell when he played in high school and even in college to an extent, when his confidence was up, he looked a lot better on the court. Versus when he got to the NBA, he kind of looked a little bit more timid and it hurt his game in that certain aspects.
See, I'm, as a spectator, as a professional sports spectator, I'm just not a fan of those types of players.
Yeah.
Because as a Leafs fan, I can cite our goalie right now, Samsonov. Big confidence guy. Even Mitch Marner, just the type of guys who, you know, can get deflated really easily and it shows in their game. And so, you know, even with basketball, I feel like I'm not a fan, you know, of having those types of players just because, you know, you got to tiptoe around when they're having issues. It can't really be addressed. You just kind of got to work around it. But, you know, I'm open to his tenure in Toronto. I hope he's successful.
Yeah.
A trade that I'm less a fan of is the OG trade.
Or Siakam?
Yes, the Siakam trade. Sorry. Not as much a fan of that. Just because, personally, I felt that, first of all, Masai took too long to deal these assets.
Oh, I've been saying for the last 2 years they needed to.
They should have moved. Yeah, absolutely.
Scotty won Rookie of the Year. He should have said, Scotty's a guy we're building around. Let's try to get assets for everybody else.
Definitely. And, you know, standing pat at the deadline is one thing, but buying Jakob Poeltl, I don't even remember what class I was sitting in, but I looked at my phone and I was like, what are we doing? I expected everybody to be gone.
Yeah, they like Poeltl.
Remember
they drafted him a couple of years ago? He was part of that Kawhi trade. They ended up bringing him back. The Raptors are kind of notorious for, they have those kind of like niche players that kind of.
Yeah, and grabbing them back. But not even just it being him specifically, just the fact that you're adding to that roster instead of, you know, clearing the house and getting all the assets you can. A year ago, it was puzzling to me. And so you could argue that they could have recuperated maybe some more assets for Pascal than they did now. And, you know, three firsts is great. Is the draft that, you know, it's a weak draft is what I've been hearing.
Yeah, but with a team like the Raptors, you're not too worried if I'm a side just because you have one of the best developmental staffs in the league. And it's been like that since I don't even know how long. When you look at how Siakam has grown as a player, when you look at how Van Vliet has grown as a player, I think you're kind of confident it doesn't really matter where your picks are. It just gives you a better chance at hitting that diamond in the rough.
Maybe, but I look at their recent track record. Malachi, Delano Banton, for example. And they're all relatively, you know, guys who are late in the draft.
Yeah.
But other than Scotty, I mean, you know, he was top five. He was a top five pick, you know. Haven't seen things pan out. But, you know, I'm open to it. And one thing, I can't get behind this management completely. Just because, and I know it's like, okay, they brought us a championship. Sure. I love championships. They're great.
They brought us or bought us.
Yes.
It feels like bought.
But what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? Because it's just been questionable decision after questionable decision. I mean, not selling at the deadline. You got to wonder, is that Masai who doesn't want to do it? Is it MLSE who's telling them, you know, keep our guys? But that's a whole other story. But I just haven't been impressed by the moves that, not the moves that they made, but the moves that they've neglected to make
up till now. Their inaction has kind of been.
Yeah.
I think part of the Raptors' just identity as a franchise is, They are inactive a lot of the time, and it's hurt their team. Like, when you think about the DeRozan move, the only reason they made that DeRozan to Kawhi move was because they kind of had to. They were stuck.
Yeah, and
they fired their head coach, who was just coach of the year. And they're like, okay, this is literally not working because you do the same thing over again, expecting different results.
Exactly.
It's the definition of insanity. And they're starting to look a little bit insane. And it looks like they're one of the franchises. Only when their hands are completely tied is when they finally make their move. And that's why they took so long to deal Siakam, to deal OG. So that's a fair criticism of the management. But one thing I will say is, at least the Raptors management is focused on winning, because there's a lot of teams who cheer out mediocre teams to just put butts in seats.
And yeah, I want to address that too. But even going back to the DeMar trade, I mean, they made that splash, but like you said, only when they had tried the same thing so many times and it failed. And even, you know, they were fortunate to have Kawhi basically fall in their lap, just because the Spurs didn't want to have him dealt to LA. And then the finals, they were fortunate enough to, you know, it was actually a great team in those playoffs that I think is underrated. But obviously, you're fortunate not to have KD play.
Yeah, I don't know if the Raptors were as much as a great team. Like, they were a solid team. Mm-hmm. But I think it was also an all-time performance by Kawhi.
Absolutely.
I think that is already been, which is kind of funny, forgotten amongst even Canadians. That's one of the best playoff runs by a singular player we've ever seen.
It seems like everything definitely worked out there, and that's what, you know, allowed management to save their behinds. And you talked about, you know, complacency with managers, you know, pumping out mediocre teams.
Yeah.
I'm of the belief, you know, you talked about a focus of winning as well. I'm of the belief that if you don't, if you're not in a position where you can actually make a push, like not a fringe contender, if you're not in a position where you're top five in seeding, then you should blow it up, and you should, you know, you should rebuild, you should be collecting assets, you know, to make that push. Because if you keep putting out these teams that are middling, and holding on to these, to, you know, middling or maybe star players, but with a not good enough supporting cast, and you don't have the resources to build around it, I mean, it's not moving me. I think it's either win or bust.
That's a term that I learned on the NBA media, you know, the YouTube media, recently, in a couple of recent years, I'd say 2-3 years, it's called NBA purgatory.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where you're not moving the needle to contend, but you're not losing enough to get a high draft pick. So you're kind of in that middle, and that's what I used to say the Raptors were for the last 2 years.
Definitely.
Nobody knew they were going to cheer out the championship team, but they were still good enough that, say, if they win a play-in game and win another one, now they're 7th seed in the league, so now their pick will probably be in the mid to late 20s.
And it's really frustrating as a fan, but you have to look at it from other perspectives as well, because let's say that I'm the owner of a team, or maybe even the president of a team that's not like a giant team like the Lakers or the Celtics, you know, just middle of the market. I think that I'm prioritizing getting butts in seats and, you know, making those jersey sales, merchandise sales. And so that just, it jumps into my head often that maybe these teams stay in that purgatory so they can keep their marketable players and, you know, win sometimes so that fans still want to go. And, you know, in turn sacrifice a deep playoff push.
Yeah, that makes sense. But one thing I will mention is, mm-hmm. and this might still be true, or maybe it's not true anymore, but the most money we've seen an NBA or just any sports franchise make, I think in a 10-year span, was when the Golden State Warriors went on their run. Well, I think they were only worth about, and only sounds crazy, but $400 million around 2010.
Compared to now.
And now I think they're almost worth $2 billion. And that's just a culture of winning. So it's almost like, as a owner, why would you even want to be in NBA purgatory when just a decade of winning and success can earn you so much more money? So I never understood, like, those owners who were just in it for the money and putting butts in seats. If you really just invested in your team and maybe, you know, you delayed 4 years of the money you would make developing your players, you could end up making a lot more money. I know I'm not a business kid, so I can't really get too much of the terminology, but I feel like that's not even the wave as much. But that's why the teams like the Knicks can keep on just paying people to play.
Yeah, an owner, ideally, I agree, you should go all in because the payoff is going to be great, but, you know, some of them are content with middling.
Yeah, being mediocre.
Content with. But yeah, no, Raptors are definitely more fun to watch now, I would say.
And they put butts in seats having a hometown kid who's starting.
Definitely.
That guarantees that even if the trade doesn't work, the name RJ Barrett will still get people to come out to Raptor games and still purchase tickets to stuff.
That's so true. You've got dynamic names, you know, young guys. You've got actual guards now.
Not just 3-and-D wings.
Exactly. It looks all the more fun to watch. And I think I caught the first game after they traded for Barrett. And yeah, I was more excited than when they were running just all those big guys out there and kind of losing games by 20.
So I have this thing I wanted to start, this little topic. Give me a hot take about sports, any sport. Anything in sport.
A hot take, that's any a sport.
Super hot take. It can't be no lukewarm take, not a cold take, but like a hot take. You know, but a lot of people probably don't agree with it.
Okay. It's hot in my opinion. Yeah. But I'm going to go. It's kind of a. Okay, I'm going to talk about baseball.
Let's talk about baseball.
Shohei Ohtani. There was a whole, you know, there's a big watch. Is he going to come to Toronto? Is he going to go to the LA Dodgers? He was a Los Angeles Angel.
Yeah.
LA Angel of Anaheim. And I was one of the people who naively thought that, you know, he's coming over.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers get him. And, you know, his agents were kind of playing. That's right. There's a whole plane ride that actually had one of the sharks from Shark Tank on it, and people thought it was Ohtani on it. It was on its way from Cali to Toronto. But everyone thought, like, yeah. And the Dodgers get him. They've gotten Freddie Freeman, who was one of the top guys on the market a couple years ago. They just signed another, you know, top guy out of Japan. I think that baseball should implement a soft salary cap. And it might not seem like the hottest take, but I think that people in the sport would argue against it just because ideally for any sport, your team spends the most money and, you know, you get all those players and everybody's happy. But the amount of, it's just become...
The stacking of teams.
It's just become anti-competition at this point. Anybody who hits the markers, you can just assume that they're going to the LA Dodgers. And there's different sorts of, you know, salary cap systems in place. The NHL has a hard cap. You can't exceed $82 million, I believe it is, on your roster, or else you're penalized every game. NBA has more of a... They have the luxury tax system, which I'm a big fan of. I think that the MLB needs to implement that sort of thing, because at the end of the day, people in LA are going to say this is good for the game, the biggest player is going to the biggest team, but... At a certain point, and they haven't done it yet, but you're going to see these same guys going to the World Series every year, or at least making those deep playoff pushes every year, and nobody else goes anywhere. Why am I, as a fan, watching baseball when all these free agents constantly turn their nose at me? It's a hot take in the baseball world. I'm kind of a cap nerd, especially with hockey, because a big part of it is every time somebody signs, you got to do these mathematical calculations.
You gotta crunch the numbers.
Exactly, as to how they're going to fit and who else you can sign. And basketball, not so much, because you've got that luxury tax, but you can exceed it, but there's penalties, and sometimes people don't want to.
Yeah, and there's certain rules, too, like the Bird Rule.
Exactly, the Bird Rule, the MLE. But yeah. with baseball, it's just ridiculous, in my opinion, and they need to implement some sort of quota, because as a fan, I'm tired of every time a free agent hits the market, there's a 50% chance that they go to LA or they go to the Yankees. They go, you know, three of the 30 teams that are in the league. Why am I watching if the only hope I have is that, you know, we sign some mid players or we make a trade and then they leave in free agency anyway? That's my relatively hot take.
Yeah, I like that one for sure, because as someone who's not too into baseball, but I dibble and dabble.
Yeah.
I know the Oakland A's are literally the definition of a poverty franchise.
Yeah, they're relocating.
Because they have to. And shout out to Oakland, first of all, for losing
all
their professional teams.
All four, actually.
They lost all four of them.
Yeah. I think about that. Yeah, I think about that often, but continue.
Yeah, it hurts probably. They used to go crazy for the Warriors during those seasons in Oakland.
Absolutely. You had the more obscure Oakland Seals in the NHL.
Did not even know that was a thing.
Oakland Seals became the California Golden Seals. And then I think they folded. They either folded or they moved somewhere else. I think they folded. I'm not sure. But you had them.
You had the A's.
Yeah, you had the A's who are moving to Vegas.
You had the Warriors.
Warriors have moved to San Francisco. And the Oakland Raiders, who are in Vegas now. It's got to be brutal because there's no doubt in my mind that you've got some passionate fans in Oakland, right? You've got passionate fans everywhere.
Again, I can't speak on the baseball as much, but I watched those Raider games. I watched those Warrior games, especially the Warriors.
Uh-huh.
They showed out.
Definitely. And to speak on baseball, the reason I would say they weren't seeing much fan turnout, but it's just because of the absolutely abysmal product that was being put in front of their eyes every game.
But would the product be wouldn't the product be based on the no salary cap you were talking about, where a team like Oakland not being part, like, no offense to anyone from Oakland, but being from like the armpit of California.
Yeah. You could say so. I mean, but even outside of missing out on all these free agents, you know, there's other parts where there's asset management. You can still develop a good prospect farm. But it just seemed like the ownership did not care. And so fans stopped turning up. And you can't blame them because what am I coming to watch?
Yeah.
And I believe there were one or two games where the Oakland fans kind of banded together and said, okay, as a show of defiance, as a sort of anti-strike, we're going to sell out this one game and just stick it to ownership. And, you know, there'd be signs that said, you know, vulgar things to the ownership just to show them their disapproval. But they sold out that ballpark, and they were the loudest that, you know, people that have ever heard them be in seasons. And it was actually quite remarkable to, you know, come across on social media. All these people came to that game out of spite. I'm not sure if they won or not, but you can tell that Oakland has passionate fans. They just want a good product to be put in front of them, at least in terms of baseball. But yeah, losing out on all four of your teams is brutal.
It's gotta be tough. Hopefully they're able to get their professional teams maybe
couple
years down the road. Like, I know there's talk about the Supersonics coming back to Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle. They just got the Kraken come to the NHL after 100 years ago. They had a team. I can't imagine as a Toronto fan what I would do if three of the four major leagues, we've got a team. What we do if they left. I mean, I'm not even that engaged in baseball. I would say it's hockey, then basketball, then baseball for me. But if the Blue Jays leave, I mean, you know, a summer staples, let's go to a Blue Jays game.
Yeah, no, that would hit. The Blue Jays, first of all, Blue Jays game is the best cover you can pay downtown Toronto because every floor has their own bars.
Yeah, there's
play music.
There's even standing spaces to watch now. You don't even have to get a seat.
Yeah, and on Dollar Hot Dog Days, it's probably the cheapest lunch you can probably get downtown. Best bang for your buck. And baseball games get kind of live, especially when you're having a couple of drinks and being responsible but still having fun.
Yeah.
You can really get yourself into the game with baseball.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been to, you know, a handful of live professional sports games. One of my best memories is, you know, going to a Blue Jays game with my dad. Blue Jays are down by three. It's the bottom of the, I don't know, they're in extra innings or something. And I'm just praying that this, it's Steve Pierce at the plate. I'm praying he gets a walk-off grand slam. Grand slam is huge. Walk-off grand slam even huger. Lo and behold, walk-off grand slam.
Damn.
It was the craziest, you know, it was the craziest thing that I've been witness to at a sports game. And it was just like, what would I do as a fan if, you know, we got stripped of that opportunity to get to watch these teams? So I can, yeah, you got to feel for Oakland.
Oh, yeah. They can never take away the Jays, the Leafs, or the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the privilege of them kind of being Canada's team.
Yeah, and so, we show out for them.
Yeah, so they're just big markets. There's no way that they're going to go away anytime soon. No NFL team, though, and I'm not a big CFL watcher.
I respect the CFL.
Uh-huh.
I really enjoy it. I enjoy the product that they put out, for sure. I would love to see a Canadian football team, but the one thing that I do know that's a problem with Canadian sports teams is one of the reasons why, for example, guys don't like coming to the Raptors is going through customs every time you're in the country. If you play away games, you have about 41 away games in a season, some back-to-back, you're at least going in and out of customs maybe 15 to 20 times in a year.
Yeah, and you can talk about it being hard to sell a free agent on coming to Toronto.
Yeah, and also
when there's that hassle,
people's family sometimes can't even come see
them. Yeah, definitely.
So I know with football, especially, and how much money it costs to, because for football, they'd have to play in Rogers Center if it could be converted to a football, because nothing else would be able to hold.
Yeah.
I don't think BMO Field's not. I don't think BMO Field is.
Yeah.
I think it's a joke compared to trying to post a game, an NFL game there, as compared to like where the NFL games are held.
Yeah, I agree. And Toronto fans don't really care about the Argos. And that may be a hot take, but...
I'd say they do, but it's either they really care about the Argos or they don't care about the Argos at all.
I think, I don't know, in recent years, I think that they just haven't seen a great turnout. You know, Saskatchewan, Hamilton, Calgary, Winnipeg, big CFL guys, you know, they're always going to pop out to a Rough Riders game.
Yeah, then the Argos just win recently.
The Grey Cup? I don't think so. I think they lost. Maybe they won. I think they lost. They won a few years ago. But, you know, when there's those cities where that's your only local team and that's the biggest team you've got, the turnout's always huge. But, I don't know. Me personally, I never hear that much engagement from Toronto fans with the CFL.
Yeah.
But I like the sport of Canadian football. I like the you know, I like watching a game. Just not so much a product.
Yeah, it's also we're getting a lot of more Canadians now too that are just playing football across the border for the NFL.
Yeah, which is great. You know, that northern invasion.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
It's beautiful. I gotta talk about the Leafs.
Let's talk about the Leafs. Or talk about disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to talk about disappointment. And so I'm going to contextualize it for you because I know you're not a big hockey guy. So the Maple Leafs, you know, they're seeing the greatest years of Austin Matthews' career. He's on pace for 70 goals, which is insane. He's got maybe 37 goals in 42 games?
Wow.
Insane. These are prime years for one of the greatest players I'll ever have the privilege to watch.
Thank God he plays for the Leafs.
Absolutely. Which it's about time that we get a generational hockey player like we have now in Toronto. But everything else about this team is one of the worst things that I've ever seen ever. Their record isn't even that bad because Austin Matthews puts this team on their back. The goaltending, unreliable. The defense, worst it's been in the Matthews era, I would contend.
Wow.
The supporting his forwards, you know, Mitch Marner, the number two behind Austin Matthews, playing like he's lost out there. Maybe he's fighting an injury. I don't know. William Nylander, disengaged after, you know, he was having a great season, insane season. Paid him $11.5 million, overpay, sorry to say. Think about, you know, the salary cap structure. Passive ever since he signed that contract. John Tavares, their captain. I've never seen less emotion from a captain in my life. And he's fallen off. He's past his prime. He's getting old, fallen off.
How old is he?
He's not even that old. I think he's like, you know, 31, 32. But he's playing like somebody replaced his leg. 33 years old. He's playing like somebody replaced his legs with I don't know, those of an iguana. And he's playing like somebody absorbed all the passion out of his heart. I saw him down in the crease. I saw another player on the other team drag him out of the crease. No pushback from the rest of the team. No pushback from him, their captain.
They just let it happen.
Yeah. You should want to run through your wall for a captain, and that's been an issue with the Leafs culture in this whole era is no pushback, no passion. Maybe they'll get into scrums for three games, and then again it's all passive.
So they're all, for lack of better words, looking like pretty boys.
Absolutely. They just fired Kyle Dubas, their general manager, replaced him with Brad Tree Living.
Mid-season?
No, it was in the off-season. Just did that. We got a new GM. Probably made the worst signings I've ever seen in my life. One-year deals for three different guys. They signed two forwards, Bertuzzi and Domi, for those more familiar. Having down seasons as pending UFA, some of the worst performances I've seen from top six forwards. What else? You know, signed a defenseman who can't play defense. They had to stuff him on the injured reserve. It's just it's gotten to a point where people are saying, like I was talking about earlier with the Raptors, the Maple Leafs should sell. They shouldn't be buyers this trade deadline. They should sell and, you know, get assets to, you know, rebuild a stronger team around Austin Matthews in a year or two. And now we reel this back into where any sports fan can kind of contextualize it. You've got one of the best players in the game. You've got one of the best players that your team might ever see ever. And you're going to sell away a year of his prime where he's making, where he's scoring, he's on pace to score 70 goals. 70. That's insane. He's on pace to score 70 goals and the team that you've built around him is so subpar that you want to sell at the deadline. It's just so bad how you've got the I would say one of the greatest players in the world right now and you can't build a team around him.
You know what that sounds like?
What does it sound like?
LeBron's first stint in Cleveland.
That's fair to say.
That's exactly what that sounds like.
And what doesn't help, which is said so often by fans of other teams, but it's a reality. You've got half of your salary cap, a hard cap that you can't exceed, tied up in four forwards. And they're only going to ask for more. William Nylander is having a pretty good season, but he's not Austin Matthews, and he's not Mitch Marner, even though Mitch Marner's been having a terrible season. He's not either of them.
But he wants that type of money.
And he got that type of money. They gave it to him. I don't think the Maple Leafs have ever won a negotiation since I've been a fan. Gave him $11.5 million. He should be making maybe 10. And that 1.5 difference, it's not that big in the NBA, but it's a big difference in hockey where, you know, they make much less.
Yeah.
Got 11.5. Mitch Marner's only going to ask for more. I think he's making 11 right now. He's not going to want to make less than William Nylander. John Tavares is making $11 million. Sure, that's what you had to pay him then, but now he's fallen off to the point where how can you justify paying him? Can't move him. He's got a no-trade clause. But the Maple Leafs cannot win a negotiation. They haven't, no matter the management. The culture is horrendous. And I had faith at the start of the season, you know, but at a certain point, you got to think of what's happening and who needs to go. I think their coach needs to go. I'm not a fan of this GM, but he just got here. Where does it all start? The president? I don't know. But it's a brutal watch. It's just, I've never been more frustrated. Even when the team's been worse than they are now, you know, in that first season of Austin Matthews as a rookie, you were just there for the vibes, you know. Maybe you can make that playoff push. Wild card team, they got in. You're just here for the vibes. They're not going to beat the top-seeded Washington Capitals. Sure. This is just, you know, there's deep-rooted issues in this team. Does it start with the captain? Maybe. Does it start with your coach? Maybe. Does it start with your president? I think so. But it's just, oh my goodness gracious.
All right, so say MLSC heard your little tangent.
Oh, I hope they don't.
A little bit, and they call you tomorrow saying, all right, Mateo, you're going to help us build our team. What's the first move that you're making?
Yeah, so MLSC, if you're listening, first of all, don't take that personally. And if you've got any jobs, throw them my way. But what is the first thing I'm doing? And it's really tricky. I think that you're in a position where you might not be a buyer at the trade deadline. And, you know, that's frustrating. But I'm more frustrated that that's where we are now because of what's happened before. So if I'm there now, I'm not standing pat at the deadline. I'm not selling. I'm just trying to grab guys with term, and guys who have character, you know, you emphasize character, yeah. But you need to restructure this team. And maybe that starts with, personally, I would trade Mitch Marner. And that's a hot take. I want Mitch Marner gone. I think that John Tavares should be gone at the end of this contract. Build around Matthews and Nylander after what you've given him. And then you just get guys with term, you know, with their contracts remaining. You can't sacrifice more than half a year of Austin Matthews' prime. And so it's not so much about what I do now. It's my frustration with what you've done to build around this generational guy.
Yeah, kind of just squandering Matthews' prime, just spending a lot of time, a lot of years, a lot of seasons, just not contending for anything.
Definitely.
And not being a serious... being in purgatory.
And they've first round exits so many years, at least they've made the playoffs over and over. But there was a time where I was like, okay, you've got Austin Matthews, you've got Mitch Marner, Nylander, Tavares. He was one of the best guys in the league when they signed him. You've got these four guys, build around him, you're bound to win a Stanley Cup. Now I'm at a point where with the structure we've got now, the money that we've locked these guys into and just, I don't know, everything else, I don't think I can really envision a cup. But I've been holding that in for quite a while. Because not many of my friends watch hockey either. But yeah.
It sounds like your Leafs are kind of sounding like the Knicks.
Go Leafs go, though, you know. I'm still going to watch the next game because you need a humbling sometimes. But yeah. Just make me believe again. Make me believe again.
Make you believe.
But yeah.
But hey, one thing you can depend on is them throwing out some new threads. How do you feel about them, Justin Bieber?
I just bought one, actually. You did? So fire. I just bought one. Shout out Facebook Marketplace. Brand new, without tag, whatever. I confirmed that it was authentic. I'm really big about that. So fire. I like them. Do you like them?
I like them. I saw the design on IG.
Yeah, the reversible.
Yeah, I liked it just because it kind of reminded me of like early 2000s sports a bit. And I like that. To me, that's when jerseys were almost at their best. Mm-hmm. Was that early 2000s era.
But yeah, for sure. You can count on Toronto to innovate in terms of, at least in the NHL, in terms of what kind of products they put out. As a consolation, I guess. Because what else do you really have? But yeah. I just want to believe again. Oh, unless you're talking about the All-Star jerseys. Because I know Justin Bieber designed the All-Star jerseys and the Black Leafs jerseys.
No, I'll talk about the Black Leafs.
Okay, because there's some All-Star jerseys that he put out. I'm going to show you right now, actually, in the time that we've got left. These All-Star jerseys. Turn my old device at you. These ones here. They're okay, but people are not fans.
Yeah, I could kind of see why. No offense to Justin Bieber, if you're listening, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. But, Ross, they didn't want to see us make it to Friday.
They didn't.
But we made it to Friday. Oh my goodness gracious. 12 a.m., I'm outside. Not even, so it's 12:42 a.m., I'll tell you. Just no foxes? Sorry?
No foxes chasing you?
No. No foxes chasing me. Just my desire to lead a happy life, an animal-free life, free of vermin. Ugh. Anyway, you know, whenever I see a fox in a video game, I kind of
cringe a bit.
Yeah. But whatever. They didn't want to make it. They didn't want to see us make it to Friday. I'm walking out of Subway. I've got my steak and bacon, fire sandwich, get the garlic aioli on it.
We have to try that.
And I'm just thinking, man, we really made it to Friday, didn't we?
TGIF.
What's coming next Friday? Maybe, hey, if you're an athlete, reach out. We want to interview you.
We do. Or even if you're athletic staff.
Even if the word athletics and Laurier appear anywhere in your kind of bio, hit us up.
Yeah, you do too much work at the school, and you don't get recognized for it enough on a broad level.
Yeah.
At the school. So let's talk about it.
Come here and chill a little bit. Let one of us pick your brain, pick your ear. Some people call me a yapper. I wouldn't agree with that, but pull up. We'd love to hear about, you know, your daily life, what you do for Laurier. And yeah,
balance.
Sorry?
The balance.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe some people aren't aware of everything that you do or all the things that people do to make athletics at this school as good as it is. Had some really good teams this year.
We want to make them aware. On Fridays at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
But we're approaching 7 o'clock. Which means that might be the end of us. Not the end of us. Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, that sounded a little
dramatic. No. Not the end of us, because you know what? At a certain point, you just go back home and you say, you know what? We're going to make it to next Friday.
Yep.
But yeah, the end of our old show today, I would say. It's been great. I got to discuss some topics that I've been yearning to discuss.
Oh, yeah. I felt like you had to get a couple stuff off your chest for this episode.
Absolutely. I never got your hot take, did I?
No.
Let's get it real quick.
My hot take real quick?
Yeah.
All right. Off the dome.
Yeah.
I honestly, truly believe that hockey needs to build more of a culture outside of its own culture.
I couldn't agree more.
Just because, you know, basketball kind of has street ball. Football kind of has its, like, flag. It has its, now it has a 7-on-7 and stuff like that. There's a way that they're not appealing to the younger generation as much in the influential. Yeah. They don't have as much influence on the young generation. While their numbers may be the same, maybe be growing a bit because there's just more people in the world, they're not growing at the rate as the other sports.
Too isolated, stagnant culture, and inaccessible is how I would describe it. I agree with your hot take. So is it hot? I don't know.
It's for everyone else to figure out.
We'll get hotter takes next time.
Yeah, but next time you can catch either me or Mateo or maybe some of our other team members.
Who knows?
And who knows? Might even have a guest. But you're going to have to tune in next week to find out. I've been Ross.
I'm Mateo.
Have a good night.